Accession number 27093, Reel 1.
1, 2, 3.
Computerized. And,
Well, is it on? That's the main thing.
Yes. Let's just get my...
I'm still on the very old...
This is Mrs. Helga Wolf, and it's Reel 1. And if I could start, Mrs. Wolf... Or you did say I could call you Helga.
That's correct.
With asking you about your life before the war, could you tell me first of all when you were born and where you were born, and then perhaps we could go on to the sort of family life you had?
I was born on September 2nd, 1923, in Frankfurt am Main, then very much a provincial town. Nothing to be compared with the kind of Frankfurt I did find last year. My family situation, my father was the university bookseller, well renowned, even remembered by colleagues who survived him in Frankfurt when I went back very much later. My mother was also a trained bookseller. She was one of the very first people in Berlin who actually had an apprenticeship, and she did tell me that her mother was so embarrassed that her daughter was working, a middle-class girl was working. So, literally, she went across the road when acquaintances came because she felt it was out of order. A brother, 4 years older than myself, a wonderful student. Our home life, very close. Family life, really concentrating on the children. My brother, very much closer to my mother. We went hiking a lot in the towns near Frankfurt, the little hills. And I used to listen to my father absolutely hanging on his lips because he was introducing me to German literature, and the irony was so much being wedded with German culture and then being told later on, as a Jew, he had no right to sell German books. It was absolutely devastating blow to an intellectual who also wrote poems and spent his time with university people, professors who came to our house, and to be completely separated from this cultural life was numbing for him, absolutely numbing.
Am I right in thinking, Helga, that German Jewry was very assimilated into Germany, and the sort of, you're implying with your father, but generally German Jewry was a very assimilated into the culture of Germany.
Yes. Well, thinking about Frankfurt, and this has been sort of almost verified when I went back last year and met about 900 other former Frankfurters now in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. And there was a dividing line, which is sad thinking now. The East and the West. And we, in our very much West End enclave and West End address, literally had nothing to do with the others living in the East who had their Orthodox synagogues, their Orthodox schools, while of course we went to the state schools, Gymnasium. And our Western Jewish Frankfurter was completely integrated. When I think, for instance, of the people around me, our doctor, our dentist, everybody I can think of was Catholic. My best friend was Catholic. Well, I didn't particularly identify with being Jewish, except that Fridays, because my father was an orphan, he'd been in a Jewish institution as a child, very strict, very Puritan, and he was as well very strict, but it was a good thing. It stood us in good stead, stood me in good stead later on. We observed high religious holidays, but this was a minor part of our being. Our social life was completely the social life of the only middle-class academic German who lived also around the university as we did, and and seeing the other Jewish survivors really for the first time gave me an idea about the other side, living literally the other side in Frankfurt. I mean, it was a revelation to me, and their German certainly wasn't my German. And of course they were bitter, and they had every right to be bitter, and they were bitter against us as well.
Were they Jewish people who'd come from the Eastern countries, like Poland?
Yes, they would have come from Russia and Poland. Perhaps their grandparents, great-grandparents fled the pogroms and were perhaps second and third generation.
And they would have been there when you were growing up as a child?
They would have been there growing up as a child. The only Eastern child I met was very much later, when her parents moved west, nearer west, as I might say, and she went into the Philanthropien, which was the liberal school in which I went later on.
That is very interesting, I think, what you have just said, Olga, about this division between Eastern Jewry, Eastern European Jewry, and Western European Jewry. And it's interesting that it didn't impress you, or you weren't aware of it until...
I wasn't aware of it. I mean, it even... This is unbelievable. There were, as I said, 900 people invited by Frankfurt magistrate. Great receptions, and Frankfurter Hof, the hotel in Frankfurt. And there were five families coming from this country, keeping completely separately from very noisy Americans, vociferous Israelis, odd people from South America, one person who'd landed in Paris eventually and brought her half Algerian daughter with her. And yet, us four families from England kept together, and one set, Frieda, I forget her husband's name, when we actually went to see the non-existent synagogue in the East End, that was her home. So that was really the second time I met a Jewish person from the East End. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's 100% wrong, and I must say, being critical about one's parents is, I think, a very good thing. I've encouraged it in our daughter. The way my father looked down on the Polish immigrant who sort of lost his way into one of the sacred streets of the university, to my mind, was unforgivable. And even, and that is again great irony, I was told by one of the other speakers who also go to schools, someone whose wife's parents originated in Poland, I was told I had the same kind of arrogance of the bourgeois Western cultured Jewish person. So that this exists after everything which has happened, the grudge of people who think themselves to be an underclass, is something I just can't come to terms with, even now.
Did you experience any anti-Semitism during this period, you know, when you were growing up and going to your state school in your assimilated life? Was there ever any moment when you were made aware that, you know...
Before 1933?
Yes, before...
Not at all.
You were saying you weren't even aware of your Jewishness then?
Well, I was aware of my Jewishness because of, as I say... keeping loosely to Jewish festivals. But I must say, it didn't mean that much to me. I remember my brother's confirmation and all the excitement. But the impact, I was too young. I mean, when we were 6, 7, 8, we played with dolls. When I look at our grandson now, he is 6 and a half. He plays with a computer. So, I mean, it's sort of unbelievable. I think the present generation, the children, have lost an awful lot. We were very lucky. We could imagine things with it, whether it was a girl playing with a doll or a boy having his train set. You sort of were the active party there, and your brain was being used. So it certainly, my brain certainly wasn't used from the point of view Christian, Jew, whatever, just accept it. Well, she goes to church. I went upstairs to my friend Erica at Christmas. She knew all about our religious festivals. And again, I think my father was a pioneer, feeling very strongly, we live within a Christian enclave, you've got to know and learn to appreciate everybody, but didn't focus on the Christian or Jewish part of it.
But when did you become aware of Hitler? Bearing in mind you were in Frankfurt, weren't you? And this
yes.
would be very much how it impacted on that area.
Well, the first knowledge of being different as a Jew happened in school one day when our teacher, and I always stress when I address classes of children, I always say, well, look at myself, Jean's t-shirt and the dark suit our teacher wore and I had to wear when I started teaching. It's unbelievable. Well, he came and he asked us to look at him, whether we noticed anything, and of course we didn't. He wore a swastika badge on his lapel. And as I say, we were so naive, it didn't mean a thing, one badge, another badge. It made no difference. But having said this, I did notice something. Well, it was ear-splitting because before the elections, when Hitler came to power, we looked down from the balcony in the Schlossstraße, and we saw the people, the brown shirts, the socialists, the communists, I don't know whatever party, marching with their banners. And so I realized there was an election going on, and I heard a talk at the table because my brother being 4 years older, but I didn't listen to it. It was a whir over my head. I may have picked up something, but the visual impact of seeing these people marching along with different banners, that really, I noticed it, but that's as far as it went. So obviously, when then, probably a few weeks later, this Dr. Nickel pointed to his badge, the association was there, oh, well, these are the brown shirts, and that is where it actually clicked, because my parents, in their great wisdom, let me be a child, and thought, well, when she's ready, and she was not a very ready person, because she lived in her own little existence, with her own little thoughts and schemes. So what happened was, he called three other Jewish girls out in front and gave the class the very first talk on differences, marks, facial marks, dark hair, big nose, black eyes. And there was me, the fourth Jewish girl. He didn't pick me out. So I was a bit upset because in those innocent days, if the teacher called you out, you thought you were the blue-eyed girl. it was an honor to face the class with the teacher. And so I put my hand up and said, well, look, I'm Jewish as well. May I come out? And so he said, no, you morally spoiled the picture, because I had very fair hair, blue eyes. And I then, sheer desperation, pointed at my nose, and it was the first time I was told that I had a big nose, but not necessarily a Jewish nose, so it didn't count. But nevertheless, the serious part of it was that he issued a diktat, as it were, telling the rest of the class not to associate with us in school, playground, out of school, not to visit our house. In fact, we were sent to Coventry. Children from the back row had to move forward. We moved to the back row to be isolated like vermin. And, well, obviously, this was all of us children were thunderstruck, because we'd played together, we'd grown up in the same streets together, and the result was that everybody cried, Jewish child, children and Christian children. We didn't know what on earth it was about. But obviously that was then I realized I'm Jewish, and that the mere fact of not being Catholic Christian, which I sort of hadn't even focused on the Protestant part. And when I came to England, there were Methodists and various other groupings, which I got to know as I got older. Hadn't even occurred to me. I was isolated from my Catholic friends. This was, of course, the sort of kind of explosion.
You would have been 10 then?
I was, yes, I was 10. Well, it was practically straight after, I think, the April election, so I wasn't quite 10. My birthday is in September, so I was just over 9 and a half. That this happened, and it was a great blow. But funnily enough, it may have been inherited from my father. I kept a lot to myself, because I then realized that I couldn't trouble my parents, because of course the boycott of Jewish shops started straight away, and there they were outside our book shop, not letting anybody in. And shortly afterwards, my father's business, which had heavily relied on students, the libraries, university libraries, museum libraries, the whole academic establishment of Hesse, the county, everybody withdrew the orders, and to cut a long story short, he literally, as a result, had to give up his business, which coincided at the time anyhow, when he was not to be any more a guardian of German cultural goods, as it were. So there was great financial stress, so much so we had to give up our beautiful 6 or 8 room flat, I don't know. It was really a lovely flat. wonderful furniture, which, because in the end we couldn't pay the rent, which was being a pounder then. It must have been heartbreaking for my parents, who worked up this business together and employed people. Straight from the moment my father was discharged from the army, they moved to Frankfurt to be away from my mother's relations in Berlin, which I couldn't blame him either, and built up this business, first a smaller shop and then this really wonderful shop, which already in those days, now thinking back of borders and all those places, the way he had this bookshop, the decor, and not sort of crowded everything on shelves, and then at the side of the front door he had a round table with comfortable seats for people at leisure to look at the books. And again, when I went back to Frankfurt and saw the people who, not the original ones who had bought it for a song, but another family coming from the east somewhere, with a rather matronly lady sitting there by the till, as if it were a grocery shop, and books on shelves, very much like one would see in a superstore. It broke my heart. So my parents obviously had enough trouble of their own without me then adding to the agony and difficulties.
End of Reel One.